the meeting to order, please. Nick, can I get a roll call?
Kurt Olsted. Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Doherty. Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetich.
Here.
Michael Tepang.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Wall.
Here.
Can I also get the public meeting second?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers or circulations throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item up is 1 minute. Can I get a motion?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tepang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Wolf.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is the chairman's report. Here, briefly, we've had quite a bit of activity on the Highlands Act exemption delegation certificates. We currently have 5 municipalities signed up: High Bridge, Mahwah, West Milford, Mount Olive, and Byron. So there seems to be a lot of interest in the process. So happy to see that. Also, on committees, 2 notes. And Mr. File can clarify them, but the checklist committee, we're going to call the plan conformance committee. It seems like there's some issues that kind of fall within the same realm, and I'll let Mr. File discuss that in a moment. And I will be creating a regional master plan review committee, so I'll contact you. So I'll be appointing that sometime in the next for the next meeting, and contact you about available, sir. And Mr. Bob, do you want to update the let us know the scope of work within the plan conformance committee?
Sure. What we were finding is that we have many issues involving plan conformance that really we'd like to go through the council. Have a committee input, and it just seemed natural to have a checklist committee, which is only dealing with one component of plan conformance and implementation, and to expand that to report on any issues that the staff had with any issues that the staff might have with plan conformance. So it was our recommendation to the chair that the checklist committee be expanded to the plan conformance committee. I think that'll give all the council members a more thorough opportunity to be heard and wrap that plan conformance committee up a little bit, make that a little bit more meaningful.
Thank you, Mr. Powell. That is my report. Do any council members have any items?
Just a question.
Yes.
We received a letter under separate cover that I don't see in our packet, so I'm just wondering. This Warren County Board of Agriculture letter from Mr. Sam Race, is that on the agenda? Or?
No, we just received it yesterday.
Oh, okay, so it's not going to be discussed at this meeting today?
It wasn't planned on.
Okay, thank you. Is it going to be made public?
I don't know that we're planning on posting it.
Seems like
post every letter that comes to the committee, but it's available to the public if they wish to ask for it.
Well, posting on the website is certainly easier than at Oprah. It would be good for people to know that it's been received by an official board of I would request you to
take that into consideration.
Thank you.
Any other items? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Personnel committee report.
The personnel committee met by conference telephone call back in December. In fact, it was on December 2nd. Present were members Rob Walton, Chairman Riley, and myself, in addition to our executive director, deputy director, and our council. During the meeting, it was decided that the committee to promote staff member Nathan McLean. Nathan has recently passed his State Board of Professional Planners and American Institute of Certified Planners, AICP exams, and has received his full planning credentials that past month. As a result, he's been promoted to the position of GIS Specialist and Planning Coordinator with an annual salary of $56,293. Nothing. No other business occurred during that meeting.
Thank Chairman Ralston?
We would ask that the roll be called of the council members to ratify that recommendation of the personnel committee.
Okay, can I get that in the form of a motion?
I'll ask.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? It's not a public item. Any council discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holdsworth?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetic?
Yes.
Councilmember Tefe?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Vogt?
Yes.
Councilmember Wall?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. The next committee report is Budget and Finance. Consideration of resolution approval of a transfer of development rights receiving zone feasibility grant in the town of Newton. And I believe I was told we have members from Newton here, Deborah Milliken. Hello, Deborah. And Deputy Township Manager. You are the Deputy Township Manager. Okay. And you're here alone? Welcome. Can I get a motion on this for discussion purposes? So, we have a motion and a second. At this point in time, did you want to come up and say anything in reference to this before I open to the public? You're fine.
I'm here today on behalf of the town council and town manager of the town of Newton. We are very optimistic about this opportunity to use this grant funding for the feasibility of the TDR to become possibly a receiving zone for the Highlands Council. So we look forward to working with you and look forward on the process and the feasibility study with what it renders.
Thank you very much. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Yes, ma'am.
Julia Saunders, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just wanted to congratulate you. I know it is hard work getting towns to look into TDR, and I think this is a very positive sign. It's great that Newton, especially since it's so close to the Highlands, is considering this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Council members, any comments, any questions? Yes, sir.
A couple items. Budget Committee did look at this. We discussed it. Newton, number one, is not in the Highlands. It's an outside interest, which is very, very good. They do depend on Highlands water, so they will be helping the Highlands. And the grant will be broken down into phases so that we have an initial phase of $5,000 that checks the basic underlying stats before we get going to make sure that there is nothing that prohibits it. So the committee recommends that we make the grant. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other council comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
May I ask who made the motion? Thank you. And second? Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetic?
Yes.
Councilmember Tefe?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wall?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. The next item, consideration of resolution, approval of a contract for development of a web-based public comment portal in support of the Highlands Regional Master Plan recommendation report. And I'll try to do it correctly this time, you're going to
The very important part of any public process is the collection of public comment. And in the first round, there were over 6,000 comments made to the council. So the decision was made to look for a convenient way for anybody to have direct access and to be able to get their comments in. And second thing, in order to process 6,000 comments, we do need a system that will correlate them and straddle them off and ID them and get them classified so that they can be reviewed as necessary by whoever it is that needs to review them. Went out to an RFP RFP was written, it was sent out. They only got one response. It's a company that Logan Simpson Design Incorporated. They do this for a thing. They have proprietary software that they use on a national level in order to do this kind of thing for many different governmental and private sector organizations. The price negotiated by the time we got everything all sorted out came to $49,996, which was just shy of $50,000. Probably the collection of data is very important. It's very difficult, very tedious, and costly. I mean, it's based on an expected 6,000. If history repeats itself, it's about $8 a comment. But when you consider the time that it takes to sort through these things and do get them classified and stratified, that's probably not really very much money when you get down to the amount of work required to get these comments to where they belong. Some other details. We also would like to, anything like this has changes. If there's more comments, obviously there's going to be some added cost for that. And the resolution also requests that we authorize the executive director up to $20,000 in extra costs in the event that the scope of the contract is exceeded. And he can settle up within that range. If it's more than that, then has to come back to the council in order to take a look at it. It was discussed at our committee meeting the other day, and the committee unanimously recommended that we accept the proposal.
Mr. Chairman, based upon that report, then I get a motion on that resolution. Second. We have a motion and a second. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Yeah. My name's Hank Klump, and I've got a problem.
Just so I get you on the table. Thanks, Hank.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Listen, I've got a problem with this because I'm not on the internet. I'm nowhere near there. So the mail works for me.
This is not the sole source.
I haven't heard anything about it. This is the first I heard about it. So I've got a big stake in the game here. It's our property. And I'd sure like to read something in the mail. It costs 46 cents. Send it, and we're spending $50,000. Come on, give me a break, will you? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But I'd like to know. The other thing that's missing.
Well, I won't bother.
Go ahead. The other thing that's missing out here tonight is the public comments from the last meeting. They were supposed to be put out there. They are not. So, I don't know, somebody's dropping a ball here. Just my opinion, because I'm not on the internet. That's the way I learn stuff. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this matter?
Good afternoon. My name is Wilma Fry of the Jersey Conservation Foundation. Regarding this proposed contract, we have some questions about it and about the RFP. And we think that before the council approves a resolution to enter into a contract to develop a comment portal, the council members should know the answers to the following questions. Number one, how was the comment process on the current RMP handled? The current RMP went through two different drafts with public comment periods before approval of the final third draft. Who did the work of reading, understanding, analyzing, and compiling the comments? My recollection is that the council staff did this work, and they did it very well. And it benefited not only the commenters, but the staff themselves, because the staff became intimately familiar with the comments of the public, and they also could know the public. And so they utilized their familiarity with the ARMP, which they understood, because they had created it. And so there was a feedback between the public and the staff, which revolved around the RMP, which the staff understood quite well. Now, then I will go into that a little bit later, but how many comments were involved the last time? And my understanding it was around 6,000, something like that. And how much did this cost? We have a sense that farming this work out to a consultant distances the council, its staff, from the public that it serves. And while we do not know the proposed consultant, Logan Simpson, I am sure they're a very competent landscape architecture planning firm, it is based entirely in the far west, Las Vegas, Tucson and Tempe, Arizona, Salt Lake City, Utah, and Fort Collins, Colorado. The underlying legal structures of land ownership and land use law out there, and most of the projects that are on their website are also in the West, and they are federal, often federal land projects. The underlying legal structures of land ownership and land use and water law and the environment are very different from New Jersey. For example, federal public land is an extremely large proportion of the land in those states, not the case here. Western water law allows water rights to be bought and sold by the private sector, not so here. Both of these things are fundamental to understanding our regional master plan and the basis on which it is created. In addition, as we know, the West is very spacious by comparison with crowded little New Jersey, which is the size of many counties in West. So we had some questions about how well this organization, which is presumably new to certainly our project and perhaps entirely new to working in the East, I don't know that, how they might be able to fully put these comments in a context. I think the staff, if they were doing this, would in some cases be able to read between the lines. I'm not sure that just by having a portal where you put in a word and it plunks it in a certain pile, whether that would have the same connection with the project that the staff doing this with. So I don't know, we think the council staff, many have worked on this project since its inception. They know the public, the municipalities, the landscape, they know the underlying legal underpinnings of the regional master plan and land use law in New Jersey. And we think it's important that they personally read and hear these comments.
Thank you,
Mr. And we question whether having a consulting firm, particularly one that is not even based anywhere nearby, not even in the Northeast or Mid-Atlantic, would be able to have that same relationship to this plan and to the comments that are made. We think something valuable and important could be lost.
Thank you,
Mr. So we urge the council to reconsider the basis for this part.
Mr. Chairman, can I address the public legal process? I just want to clarify, this resolution would authorize the executive director to enter into a contract with an outside firm But in no way, shape, or form is the council, quote unquote, farming out, as was indicated, the responsibility to listen to and respond to public comments on the RFP. This is simply a way to assist, better assist the staff and better assist the public in that it's going to use state-of-the-art opportunities on the internet to categorize a large number of comments and categorize them in a way that makes it easier for staff to respond. So there is no delegation of responsibility. It's simply a state-of-the-art electronic modern way to help categorize up and update. So it's state-of-the-art work. It has nothing to do with
collected
land use law in other parts of the state. It's a technical resource to the council staff and to the public at large, basically.
So, thank you, staff. Any questions? This isn't going to prevent people from mailing in comment in any other way, correct?
Absolutely not. No,
and let me just be clear. You're saying that the staff is still going to be the people that review all of these comments the same way they did the last time, so it's just a method of gathering the comments. In addition, you'd be able to get his comments in.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, good. Okay.
The comment will be prevailed.
All the comments, we're going to have a public record of every single comment submitted. This contract is going to allow for greater automation and sorting of those comments so that they can be responded to appropriately. It will help categorize various categories of comments so that it's going to make the comment response process more efficient.
In fact, remove any bias that might be there.
There's going to be a record of every single comment received, whether it's by regular mail or by electronic. Yes, we'll have a record.
Yeah, this is just to assist.
What?
Okay. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and whereas you can receive the comments, I'm presuming they will be posted on the internet, and without internet access, you will not be able to see them. Is that correct?
I don't know that. At some stage, I'm sure it'll be.
We're going to do both. There's going to be nothing that's hidden or unavailable to the public, be they printed or on the internet.
But
so where anything would be available on the internet, we would also have hard copies available as well.
That includes all the comments,
yes.
Not just your own.
Correct.
Right. Okay. A few years ago, two or three or four, some of the Rutgers staff did an analysis of the effect of public comment on regulations. And they have found that the effect of public comment on regulations affects only about 2% of regulations. The deal is already cooked. Public comment becomes nothing more than a box to be checked on the way to putting the regulations in place. And if you wish, I can get a copy of this report and send it to you for your own perusal. I found it edifying. The Highlands Act was it also includes laws. The Highlands Act was part of this analysis over years. So this is nothing more than a feel-good effort on the part of government to make you think you really matter. The deal's already done by the time they get to the public comment section of putting this through. Do you want a copy of this?
I don't need it, but I disagree with your comments, but thank you.
Well, no. That's what this report says. You're disagreeing with a report done by Rutgers University, which means I think you all need to read it. So I will furnish it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none. Any council members wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes, sir.
Dave, if the executive director could explain, how does this system remove bias?
I'm sorry. How does
you stated earlier that this system
because I think once we set the categories, are going to be tabulated by machine and comments of people who we have set the criteria for. We don't have a staff, number one, we don't have a staff that can possibly do this many comments. But two, their interpretation is taken out by our staff, who might interpret one thing one way or the other. Once we set the criteria for how something falls into a bucket, we'll get all those in that bucket and another bucket, and we won't be depending on the human interpretation that we might get within the staff. We're talking about over 6,000 comments.
Actually, it's 8,000, if you remember.
Possibly 8,000, possibly more. And we'll also have those comments that are coming in on a written form that will have to be plugged into the consultant's model.
This is a web portal where people make comments.
Yes.
It also is a program into which every email comment, every normal mail comment, every written comment dropped off here at the door, all of those comments will be put into this system for sorting.
Yes.
Yes, I think the public comment process is really, really important. And having worked with an environmental advocacy organization for 25 years, we have really relied on the ability of the public to have access to public decision-making through really accessible systems. So I support the concept of making it easy to submit your comments. And certainly, to be able to do this electronically is very important, as well as through other means. As a matter of fact, you know, if you look at some of the federal agencies like EPA, they consider it to be a justice issue to make sure that you provide lots of different ways for the public to participate. That's why we're going to have hearings, as well as written comment, and online, and that kind of thing. But I would like to know some of the details about how this portal will be set up, because having gone through submitting comments probably at least once a month in my job over the years to various agencies. I can tell you there's ones that are good and there are ones that are awful. And there are ones that really incentivize people to go to them because, you know, they're easy to access. You don't have to go through a lot of upfront work in order to be able to be accepted as a commenter. And how restrictive or easy or accessible these systems are really vary a lot when you look at the agencies. I want the Highlands Council to be an easy agency, an accessible agency, one that is friendly to the public. And so I really want to see exactly what this portal is going to look like. I want to know, is it going to be one of those where you have to first put in an email and then be accepted and then get a password? Can you only write in a certain box? Is there going to be a certain a limit on the number of characters? I mean, these are all things that we run up against all the time. And even though they may seem to be sort of nitpicking, they're really not, because if you want the public to take part, you want to make it easy for them to do that. And if there's all these restrictions that are put on how the portal can be utilized by the public, it has a chilling effect on public input. So can we get more details on this before we actually vote? Because I think the devil is in the details on this sort of public access system.
I would suggest that we will do that in the development of the website. That what we have now is a framework through this bidder, who was the only bidder, who we found to be a very highly qualified bidder. You have a copy of the RFP that we sent out, which told exactly what we were looking for. That certainly gives us, again, the foundation of where we are going with this. I think as it evolves, we want to be as transparent as possible. Also, I think it's one thing that we've had as a goal is to make this council as transparent as possible and to be as user-friendly as we can. I assure you that we will make this user-friendly. We'll report back to you every step of the way as to where we're going with it and where we are and what data we're asking for and how we're asking for it. And then's the time, I think, to take a look at the process. Right now, we have confidence that this company can provide what we need, and now we need to flesh out the work and all the foundation.
With all due respect, I appreciate that, but I would really like those details before I vote on this, because it's a lot of money. We want to make sure that we're getting an accessible system that's very user-friendly. And without knowing that up front, I can't really put my for trust and...
This is to authorize the contract. The detailed scope is not yet developed. It will be developed after the consultant is retained. But to this point, the consultant responded according to the professional staff that reviewed the responses. It was completely responsive, adequately responsive to the RFP. They're qualified. The details of the scope haven't yet been worked out. But we will be working with the consultant on that. But to hold up the award, you can't really have a scope developed until you award it.
Nor would any committee that is being made for us. So I agree with the ability to make it as easy as possible. That's something that's done after you award the contract. They're not going to do that work and hope that you award the contract. That's a big part.
And the only better.
Yes. Yes, sir. Mayor.
The two things. First, let me comment on the remark that was first brought up, which was the transparency and knowing what's coming in front for the council to vote on by resolution. If I understood the public question or comment correctly, was the resolution is at desk now to for us to vote on, but the public didn't know about it until it got here. So, in the essence of transparency and for the public, and I talk about this because we're in the midst of a master plan change in town, and not everybody has emails. Not everybody's online to see what's going on. So the public comes here, and the council is about to vote on a resolution of spending up to $70,000. They really don't have, weren't able to research, able to look at what the council is voting on. It's similar to an ordinance where one meeting it's introduced and the next meeting it's voted on. Is there any way that the public who doesn't have access to, other than coming up here, I guess, prior to the meeting, the week before the meetings, and getting the agenda, how would we deal with that if we're voting on financial matters more tonight, and the public's the first time the public's hearing, they really can't comment on it. They don't know about it.
If they were here, they saw the request for a proposal that was voted on by the council to put out for this quotation, and it was explained to them what our purpose was, and how that would underpin the regional master plan. And you have that document.
So what they really have to do is what you're saying, Director, is really pay attention to the meeting before.
I suggest they pay attention to all of our meetings, actually.
Well, yeah, but I'm just trying to get where he's coming from. If you didn't know where what was being voted on, are we doing everything we can?
The request for proposal, I think, was pretty
good. The RFP was out. The agenda is published on the website and in notice of the meetings and the subject matter per the Open Public Meetings
Act. The website out.
So this, all right, Open Public Meetings Act has been published. This, we've been fully compliant with the Open Public Meetings Act. This resolution is no different than any other resolution for our contract. So yeah. The agenda item was out there.
I'm just trying to make sure the public is informed that every possible chance we can get it.
You've been around a long time, Mayor. You know, in the old days before email, when we would publicize a meeting agenda,
yep,
and people went to meetings. If they wanted a set of the minutes, they went to town hall and picked up a set of the minutes. I think people are, I think people are more informed, and there's more tools in place to inform more people than there's ever been. So rather than looking at what about me, how are you reaching to me, I think what we're actually doing is reaching to more, and the tools that have been in place for decades are still in place in terms of getting information from public entities. And you choose which one you want to do, but we certainly haven't retracted the ability of people to access information.
So I would suggest that at least the public knows at all times the process on which they can get information prior to before the meeting. So you're all, the public's aware, and I'm sure they are, of every step they can take prior to a meeting to get the information they need to be up to speed on whatever we're going to vote. So maybe if the executive director and the chairman just take a minute after the meeting and talk to anybody in the public didn't have that information, make sure they understand the process where they can get the information. And that would be the information.
And Mayor, we're available certainly as much time as you want before a meeting or a week before a meeting. Once something is published in the press, we are always able and anxious to talk to anyone.
Okay.
We'll never refuse a call.
It's no proposals. The second thing is the word bias. It did jump out at me when you used it. when you talk about a web portal or application that takes an email and deciphers the email into a category, it's usually done by words, it's done by a computer, and it's not somebody physically looking at the email. It's scanned and then it's put into a category. How difficult is that going to be for them to show us how that actually operates in a system that they already have running? I have no problem voting on this, but when it comes time to it, are we going to be able to see how that actually works?
I would say to you, as soon as we figure out the parameters with them and get them into a cogent form, we'll report back to them where we are on that and how that process is.
Because I think that's going to be the most important aspect of this, that the public, that anybody makes a comment, that their comment is read in full, that it's understood, and it's not just a computer reads X amount of words and it goes into a category. The sophisticated data, really this is really a data storing application. It stores a lot of data, and that's what this company did. And I get it, because we deal with new government all the time, that we store and store and store. But I want to make sure that it doesn't get lost. I don't know if what you were talking about, that the whole intent of what was sent in gets lost because it gets put into a category based on three words in a sentence. It's a very interesting concept, and it's probably a good thing as long as it's transparent and we get the full understanding on how that actually drops into boxes.
Why don't we commit to you to bring this company in as we get this fleshed out and let them show you, we'll award the contract. But obviously, when they come in, let them show you in the public how bias is removed and how they do that sort.
Perfect.
I think that'll be interesting for all of it, because that's why we're paying them to do what they're doing.
Outstanding. Mr. Chairman, can we get that added to the resolution as an amendment that we get them into to do that?
I'm not sure if that's something I want to add to the resolution. Accept our representation amongst all these people. We're going to do that.
It wasn't part of the RFP.
But I think we can probably get it. I offered on record that the public hears that the executive director has offered to the public that it will be shown to the public at this report exactly how it works, and everybody will be satisfied. I feel good about that. Their public comments, everybody's comments are well taken and your story correct.
Mayor, I can't guarantee everybody's going to feel happy and pleased with that. I can guarantee we'll do it.
I'll be happy and pleased if the executive director and the chairman follows up. So he promised to the council and the public, and I'll be satisfied.
So noted. Any other council comments?
Yes, sir. Regardless of the public have the comments, I did want to make sure that the verbatim comment will be available.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how they got into the bucket, or what bucket they're in, or category, however you want to call it. The important thing is that folks will be able to see the comments words.
We will have a verbatim electronic copy or an actual and PDF copy of every written comment that comes in. Absolutely, we'll keep a record.
Every comment will be in its totality. Any other comments from council members? Seeing none, roll call please.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Ferruccio?
No.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wolf?
Yes.
Chairman Brown?
Yes. That brings us to the next committee, which is the Checklist Land Use Ordinance Review Committee, consideration of resolution, approval of the minutes of the Checklist Ordinance Committee. This is a voting matter, and I believe Mr. Richco is here.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Checklist Ordinance Committee met on January 7th. Those present in person or on the phone were Chairman Riley, Council members Tiefang, Bowden, and me, members of the staff, Gene File, Morgan Nordstrom, Andy Davis, Chris Danis, Annette Tagliarini, and Peter Simon, the assistant counsel from the governor's authorities unit. Four towns were recommended by the staff where the checklist ordinance approach could be used because of their extremely limited development potential in the preservation area. Those towns are Luton, zero potential, Jefferson, zero, Washington Township with two parcels for a total of 297 acres, and White Township, three parcels with a total of 368 acres. I'd like to ask the staff, Gene, if someone could, I'm sure that there's going to be members of the public and the council that are interested in the hearing about the two parcels in Washington Township and three in White Township as to why their development potential is so low.
Sure, we can do that. Chris, could you, Chris Dennis, our Director of Planning and Science, certainly give us that information.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year to you all. I'll go over, I believe in your packet, I believe the public has it as well, regarding the checklist committee meeting materials, and there are, we'll start with Township of White, Warren County. And there are some maps that come along with it, and there's a table with that's embedded into the checklist ordinance approach staff recommendation. This process, this is the second time that the checklist committee has met, and we followed the approach that was developed in order to support this staff recommendation. For Township of White in Warren County, they're coming in for the preservation area. They submitted a petition for the preservation area only. We evaluated all of the parcels in the preservation area for those that would be subject to a development review, those that would meet the threshold of the Highlands Land Use Ordinance that would be subject to a development review and that land use ordinance. We do that by looking at the build-out report. We do that by looking at what lands are preserved or determining what might be developable. We look at oversized lots. A portion is developed, but the lot is big enough to develop more. We look at that. We also confer with the planner of the township and verify that this information is correct and up to date. We then take that analysis through our GIS and staff review, and we look at what parcels are there. And then we take those parcels that are developable and look at them against the land use ordinance and to see which of those may be subject. In the case of White Township, there are three parcels that may be subject due to residential zoning that currently exists in the township to three or more dwelling units. Please know that this is a gross planning analysis. This literally takes the acres, the full acres, including all resources, because all resources are always evaluated under the ordinance for the nature and extent of their full presence on the property. This is a gross planning analysis. It's pretty much 25 acres for ag, 88 acres for forest. It's looked at to see if that gross analysis would trigger three or more residential units, or 1 acre or more of land disturbance, a quarter acre more of impervious surface, or new and expanded uses that are not permitted by the ordinance, a change of use in an ordinance. So in the case of White Township, there were three. If you look at the mapping that was provided to you, you'll see one map that sort of gives an overview of the town. And it shows the plan and preservation area. Preservation area is in light green. It also shows all the preserved lands in blue. And then you see the developable parcels that are selected. They represent about 2% of the municipality. And then you get to see an aerial that has sort of zooms in on those three parcels, and it shows an aerial view of those parcels. This was discussed during the committee, and we looked at them, and there were questions regarding the nature of those, particularly it looks like in this case there are Kew Farm parcels that are actively being used for ag on portions of them. They are not preserved, and based upon the agricultural component of these, they may trigger three or more residential units. It's a conservative approach. Actually, there's a lot of wetlands and buffers on these parcels. They may not ever even get to three developable units if they came through, but we use a conservative approach. So that's White Township and the approach that we use. We prepare a staff summary. We use that same table that looks at this, which is really mirroring the development checklist for it. Any questions on White?
Step one. The 2% figure, is that of the preservation area or the whole township?
The town.
Thank you.
The next one is the Township of Washington in Warren County. And at this point in time, They have not. They came in originally for their present the planning area, and they've held on their planning area. So we're moving forward with them on the preservation area at this point in time. So we suggested to them that why don't we take a look at the lands in your preservation area? It's a sort of a change in their status for planted homes at this point in time. So we did that, and we found out for them there were two parcels that might be subject to that three or more residential units under the ordinance if it was implemented. And again, we prepared a staff analysis, verified it, and used the table to determine the analysis. Again, we looked at the map, and if you look, you sort of see Washington Township Warren. It has the donut hole of Washington Borough in the middle of it. And you can see the preservation area is sort of around the outside of the town here in green, and a large part is planning area. The two parcels, parcels are adjacent to each other and surrounded by preserved land on two sides. The next mapping that we do is the aerial. We sort of, again, zoom in, blow up that those two parcels. They happen to be adjacent to each other. One of them is 111 acres, the other is 186 acres. They're in active farming for most of it. Some of it's forested and wet. These two parcels represent 3% of the entire municipality and total 297 acres. And once again, it was a gross planning analysis. This approach was verified with the town and the plan. Any questions on Washington Township 1?
Tell me about gross application.
Well, that means that we actually don't do a full planning analysis of setbacks, resources. We look at it as, here's the outbound, it's a, let's say 100 acres, and how many acres are in agricultural land, and how many acres are in forest. And then we look at the relationship of that to the septic density rules in accordance with the DEP Highlands Preservation Area rules, which is 25 for ag and 88 for forest. And that is the analysis that we do. So if it was 100 acres of ag, it would be 4 of one. Sort of a, just a gross division. Yeah, it's not like a setback resource. We would do that as part of the land use ordinance review.
Next item? Just those two.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dan. As always. This point, we don't have a motion on this. So, can we get a motion on this?
Also, a motion and a second. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on minutes? Comments? Yes, ma'am.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Just a couple of comments. Because both White Township and the Township of Booton, when you go to the council's website, it is not possible to click through to all the information that it is for most of the other towns. It made it rather burdensome for the public to review, to compare the minutes, which, by the way, thank you, Mr. Director, for giving the public these. It made it a little difficult for us to review White and the Township of Booton. But my real comment is on Washington Township. I am concerned that having the checklist ordinance may have pushed Washington Township to drop pursuing conformance for its planning area. When the build-out analysis was done for Washington Township, this is according to your website, Washington Township wanted to come in for three centers, even though they didn't have water supply that would have supported three centers, and it would have amounted to 2,117 housing units. That's still available, that information is still available on your website. I'm concerned that offering them the opportunity to do the checklist ordinance and just do it for the preservation area, they have pushed the rest of Washington Township out of conforming the whole town, which is very unfortunate because they only, according to the report you provided, they only withdrew from pursuing conformance for the whole town this fall after this whole checklist ordinance thing became a possibility. So I think that is very unfortunate if that happened to be the case.
I don't see how that would be, but that's why it's your opinion.
Thank you.
Julia, I asked the same question about Washington Township planning area, and I think what you just said
I thought also that that really is not the case. Maybe Chris, because I asked Chris the that same question, and she answered it very well. So if you want to, is that okay?
We can both answer. You want to start this way? We did not even entertain the conversation with Washington Township Warren about a checklist approach until it was clear that they were not going to move forward on the planning area. And in fact, they're going to stay on the planning area. We're going to continue to evaluate it as an option and work with them on farmland preservation and some of the habitat planning that's a priority for them right now. And that's where they're at, but this was not even offered to them or mentioned until at such a time it was clear that this was not moving forward for both the plan and preservation area.
Anybody else in the public portion to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion, open it to the council members. Ms. Mann.
I wanted to make just a couple comments about first White Township. I'm disappointed there's no planning area, but in the beginning there was, in 2009 when they first put in their application for conformance, I believe at that time, there wasn't the plan to include the planning area in the conformance as well. So that's disappointing, but it wasn't in the mix from the start. I am concerned because it is 368 acres, and we've discussed this before. The checklist was really supposed to be used as a temporary measure until the land use ordinance would be adopted, and I'm concerned about having it go on in perpetuity or indefinitely, as it talks about in the write-up on the ordinance approach for the Township of Hawaii. I'm also concerned because that 368 acres, we don't know exactly what it will be used for. If you look at the aerials, there is quite a bit of forest in there, and there's resources that are not outlined here, but looking at the aerial, I could see a general idea that this looks like there's a pretty intact land there. It's being used now for agriculture, but obviously is not preserved. So I think, I continue to be concerned about the use of the checklist ordinance. It was only supposed to be in very rare circumstances. It moves the townships away from buying into the RMP and being the mover and shaker for the RMP, which I think is very important. And also continues a certain amount of secrecy. I know that the council doesn't disagrees with me on that, but I think, coming forward as a report from a committee that the people have not been able to attend the meeting for is really a veil that keeps out the public, and I don't think that's a good thing, and I don't want to support that. But I'm also concerned that down the road, the DEP preservation area rules could change. So we're basing that on what those rules are now, and it sounds like this is pretty much being cut in stone. So I'm very concerned that we'll lose the opportunity to use the full land use ordinance and apply that to White Township. As far as Washington is concerned, I'm really disappointed to see the planning area being removed from consideration of conformance by the township. I thought it was really terrific that they were going to consider this, particularly because, as we can see, a large amount of the township is in the planning area, and it would have been really, and they're in a very special place in the Highlands that is subject to quite a bit of development, and so I'm really disappointed to see that pull away, and maybe it was because of Mr. Files, this isn't the Hotel California, you can get out if you want, maybe that was the reason.
I'm just making a joke
about it, but I think that, perhaps there has been a culture. And I've seen that culture developed here on the council, unfortunately, of moving ahead with the erosion of these townships who can, before, prior, under other administrations, were really encouraged to move into full conformance and
opting in. Stick out of the hand.
I'm sorry.
All other things like that.
So,
that forced things like COA that forced people to sign up early to say, we want to.
You can have your own theories about why that happened. Well, I can tell
exactly
you,
what you're
municipalities.
Doing. Exactly what you're doing.
No, municipalities walked in with their eyes wide open and were enthusiastic because of all the work done by this council and the staff.
Municipality.
Sorry. I disagree with you, sir.
As an elected official and many other elected officials here,
the stick is what carries the weight. It wasn't, because we've done nothing to discourage them.
You can look back and say that, but I can tell you that's not what was going on.
We've done nothing to discourage them from opting into the planning area. Zero.
But I don't see any effort on this council's part since the new administration came in to try to move towns to include the planning area into their applications for conformance.
Well,
and as a matter of fact, we haven't even seen any new conformance move forward in months.
As opposed to the stick, the township has every right and ability, without any pushback from this council, from this staff and administration, to say, don't do it. The only thing we did was take away the stick that says, you must do it.
Well, I just disagree with you, and I can tell you that's not what the municipalities are thinking. And the ones that opted in, opted in. I'd just like to say, it's 200.
Thank you.
It's 297 acres. It's a lot of land.
Thank you.
Well, this council's in charge of them now.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are, for the checklist. The staff does it instead of the municipality. That's wrong.
What is the council doing, not the director? What the council doing? What should come here and see what happens? What are we doing to give an example to encourage people to be that move?
That's right. And we should be
encouraging. I'm talking about, about a rule, that, and it's our rule, that we're going to control what goes on. That's chilling to a municipality. And you know my female home rule. That town, that municipality, elected officials, and the people that sit there and pay the taxes there are the people that know best what for that town. We can sit here and give them guidance all we want. And sometimes you got to take it's about the people too, and that leads to a lot of changes, and it's dynamic. It's not fixed in stone. You're exactly right, and it won't be fixed in stone. There's going to be changes. It's dynamic, and we have to be able to move with that change and accept that change. And that change comes with people. The geography, the geology, and environment is solid. What changes the influence on that is the people. That's what we have to pay attention to. That's how you encourage people to get their planning into the preservation and into comply with all the new methods. You do that with the people. And when they have a comfort level with us, with what we're doing and what we represent, then you'll see a change. When their comfort level is not there, you see the difference.
And that's what we saw so many move into planned conformance until the new administration came in and stopped.
Partially our responsibility.
Chairman, if I may, before I was a Freeborn, I was mayor of Hampton Burr. There's only one reason that Hampton Burr would apply, even the preservation area, and that was for textual code. It had nothing to do with what we felt were the benefits of this act or the regulation of this act prior to the statute. It was to save us from code.
Any other comments?
Yes, thank you.
Any other council comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
No.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Haltewood?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebicich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizio?
Yes.
Councilmember Vogt?
Yes.
Councilmember Wolf?
Yes.
Chair Schreiber?
Yes. Thank you. That takes us to the next item, which is the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In accordance with the authority that you have vested in me, through the Executive Director's Delegated Authority Resolution 2013-25, I list the following projects that were approved under that authority since the last council meeting. I would note that this, I believe, is significant progress forward, because plan conformance and that process that we go through is really just a threshold. It achieves very little except getting someone on the path and into the planning conformance implementation process. So what we have here are 12 items that I'm reporting due tonight that are implementation. Implementation is where the rubber meets the road and what really affects the planning conformance process. And they are: Byram Township, the exemption determination ordinance was adopted and the authorization certificate issued. And here again, that Chairman Riley talked about before, that again puts the authority for this in the township's hand, strengthens township home rule, and this, I believe, a real step in the right direction. Chester Township. Master plan reexamination report was deemed consistent. The master plan Highlands Element deemed consistent. In Holland Township, the Highlands Environmental Resource Inventory was adopted and deemed consistent. Master plan Highlands Element adopted and deemed consistent. Mahwah Township, exemption determination, authorization, certification issued. Montville Township, master plan reexamination report deemed consistent. Master plan Highlands Element deemed consistent. Mount Olive Township, Highlands Land Use Ordinance adopted and deemed consistent. Exemption Determination Ordinance adopted and authorization certification issued. Rockaway Township, Master Plan Reexamination Report deemed consistent. West Milford, Exemption Determination Ordinance adopted and authorization certification issued. And those are the things that are being implemented that put the Highlands on the ground and affect the things and the good work that the staff is trying to do and this council is trying to do. Also within that authorization is the TDR program. We have one action that we took tonight. Ringwood Township, and with Ringwood Township, we have a HDC determination of 88.75 HDCs. There were no state state agency coordinations. Planning area exemption review, there was one. That was the town of Phillipsburg for a gas main. And Highlands Resources, there were none in this period. All this information can be tracked very, very easily on the website. You can see where we are with every single town that is participating and those that are not participating. And we'll get a hard copy to anybody who asks for it. Staff updates, been a busy couple months for staff. In October, we welcome Gene McCulligan. Gene is with us tonight. Gene joined us as a part-time resource management specialist. He is an accomplished environmental scientist with over 35 years of professional experience, and we are already reaping the benefits of his contributions. Staff member Carl Figueredo resigned from his position as a GIS supervisor to join the private sector. We currently have two vacancies in the GIS department, and are actively attempting to fill these positions. Those are the only two vacancies that we have in staff. Also want to congratulate staff member Nathan McLean, who passed the State Board of Professional Planners, the American Institute of Certified Planners exam. He received his full credentials this month and will be working in both planning and in GIS as a bridge between those two departments. So we're looking forward to that. We're also looking forward to filling out that department with two new hires. As you can see in your report and on the website, a number of outreach and constituent assistance meetings took place. We had year-to-date 306 requests for assistance. Those are phone calls. We only had 17 in December. We had 29 in November, for a total of 306 for the year and an average of 26 per month. I give you a look at the list of townships and other agencies that we have contacted. You'll see a lot of towns there that are both participants in the program and that are not. And all of them are on our radar scope. We work with each and every one of them when asked and where we can. 16 municipal county meetings, 19 agency meetings, 8 workshop and board meetings, a site visit, 4 constituent meetings, 18 others, for a total of 67 contact meetings. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman. The only other item I would ask you to consider would be the resolution by the council to adopt the Development Credit Bank meeting schedule.
Thank you, Mr. File. That brings us to our next action item, a consideration of resolution, Highlands Development Credit Bank annual meeting schedule for 2014. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second motion. And a second. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on the meeting schedule for the HDC Bank? Shocker. Oh, there is. The HDC Bank meeting schedule? See it done? About the HDC Bank meeting?
Yeah. This is TDR credits, right?
No, meetings. It's a meeting scheduled for the HDC Bank one.
And the HDC is the Highlands Development Credit.
chaired by
yes.
Mr. Walton, right? I think the bank is busted, and the credits have no place to go. So I wonder what you're going to do. There's no money and no place to sell the credits that you've accrued. So what are you doing?
We're working to that end.
I beg your pardon?
We're working to that end. That's what we're working on.
Well, I think it's ended. I think the next step is burial. With no money and no place to send the credit, it's dead. It was totally predictable.
Thank you. Any other comments on the meeting schedule? Seeing none. Council comments? Roll call, please.
One point of clarification, Mr. Chairman. There's a revised draft schedule. There's just a couple wording changes, just so the members know what they're voting on. The dates have not changed. There's just a couple language changes. It says revised on the top. It's also out on the table for the public, but I just want to be sure that everyone knows we're voting on this revised draft resolution, which will be signed.
Not a substantive change.
No. Just a couple wording changes. The dates and times have stayed the same.
There's no issues on that. Those corrections. Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzworth.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatage.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Wong.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes. It's going to bring us to the public comments. Just so council members know, we do have an executive session item that needs to be discussed with some litigation. So if we come out and take any action, we might well open it up to the public event if you wish to stay. But I said we will have an executive session this evening.
Do you intend to take action?
If we take any action, I would open it to the public. Brings us to public comments. Anybody wishing to speak, please raise their hand. Yes, ma'am.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. This evening, you have changed your checklist ordinance committee into a plan conformance committee. Sounds like there's going to be plenty for the new plan conformance committee to do. You've also talked about creating a second committee, a plan review committee. I completely understand why you're proposing to do this. I run a nonprofit, we have a board, we have committees, there's a lot of work that happens with the committees. You would be here all night forever if you did all of that meeting here. The big problem is, there once was a time when we had these committee meetings here at the council, and they were open to the public. Their meetings were scheduled, the public could attend. The public could not participate in those meetings, but at least we were able to hear and understand what was being discussed and what was going on. With the Checklist Ordinance Committee, you have not told us when the meetings are. You have published minutes that, for the first time, we got them ahead of time. Thank you. But we're kind of guessing what you're talking about and what is going on. And you're asking us to comment on the minutes. It's very hard to do. It would be much better if we were able to at least attend the committee meetings. So with these two important committees being created, I beg you, please, publish the dates of the meetings and allow the public to attend and at least understand what is being discussed. So that when you ask the public to comment at these meetings on those minutes, we can do so in an informed way. If you are going to tell us, no, we can't, at least please try and get the minutes out at least 7 business days in advance, like it's done in all municipalities. Actually, it's 10 working days, as you know, municipalities, but that has not been your history here. But at least get them out in advance in a decent amount of time so that we can try and prepare to participate in public comment. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public with here?
My name's Hank Klump. I own and farm 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. 10 years later, and here we are. no further along than we were then. Julia Summers has not lost millions of dollars in her property value, as I have, because she recently said she is pleased that the state has a long way to go to clean up the shore. So, they don't have time to think about changing the Highlands rules. Jeff Tittle, who does little more than complain about everything, according to DEP spokesman, hopes that when the rules next expire on December 31st, 2015, that Christie will be so involved with his campaign for president that he still won't see changing the Highlands rules a priority. He will be focused on Iowa and will leave us alone, according to Tiffany. Things are just great. Actually, even environmentalists know it is true that the Highlands Act was based on a law, because it is not fairly compensating landowners for the loss of their property values after they could no longer develop their land. When I stand here before this council, I am always led to believe that you are doing all you can to help the landowners, who have been expected to accept pennies on a dollar and be satisfied. Yet, I read that Gene File, the council executive director, reports that the council is pleased and is continuing to do business as usual. Well, council, once again, thanks for nothing. One thing people need to understand is landowners who want their property values returned are not anti-environment, especially if the land is farmed. We make it our business to know about soil, water, trees, and more. We just need to be justly compensated for the price we are paying. Thank you. I got one other thing that I understand that there's a whole mess of committees and everything's going on here. Been busy this whole time, last 2 months anyway. I understand it's a committee to find out for us. You tell, where's the funding for the landowners in the works? Can I see the minutes of that meeting or the works? There was supposed to be a committee. I heard nothing tonight about it. Nothing. We got all kind of committees going on, but nothing to compensate the landowners. And that was supposed to be a top priority. Well, here we did. Again, we're kicking the can down the road. Forget about it. You know, we're the landowners here. And we still don't know. It's 10 years. Come on. You people got to get going on this thing. I don't know. Chairman, you were the one that designated the people for the... Have they met yet? If they have, I haven't seen the minutes. Nothing. Is it possible? I know you don't want to answer me. But, you know, what's right is right. And it sounds like, you know, you got time to do everything else. But how about compensating us, or find a way to get it compensated? I know you all think that way, but somebody's got to do it. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. I think I might have missed something in beginning of the meeting because of the noise back here. If you're setting up a plan development committee and the public is not going to be able to even watch what's going on, it's going to be very difficult, as Julia says, to adequately comment on the potential changes in the RNP. So I know that I hate to say, you know, you've got to come to Chester for some more meetings, folks, but I think if you announced the dates of those meetings, that there would be some people interested in showing up, and we would appreciate being able to follow the discussions and changes, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes,
George Stafford, the Highlands Coalition, and property owner in Wharton in the Islands area. I have made a report to you last time, I think it was, on land values, and I've been studying abstract arrangements. I was asked to expand that in case there are any questions. And I've been doing so, and I haven't completed it. Actually, when I heard that property owners in the Highlands had lost billions in equity, I noticed that the value of my property got down about $150,000. If I came up with the right numbers, you know, you folks might write me a big check, but it hasn't worked out that way, at least as far as the numbers that I have. And I wanted to bring something out that I was doing the last couple of days on land values. Abstract arrayables breaks out values of land, values of improvements, and the totals, and then there's a million other things that they go into. But I just wanted to give you an idea of trends as far as land values are concerned. 2004, that's valuation for 2003 in abstract arrayables, and this is just Sussex County, and it's not broken out by Highlands towns, it's the whole county. But you had $3,643,000,000 in land values in 2004. 2005, and that's for 2005 is for 2004, the year the act was acted upon, was passed. $3,812,000,000. 2006, that's the first full year, all of 2005 is involved. $4,658,000,000. I'm rounding here. There's another $132,000 I didn't count in. I got one more year for you. $2007, land values, and again, this is far from comprehensive. It gives you an idea of trends and what are going on. $5,608,000,000. Raw land. Now, that's not just farm land. That's not. But that's the land under your house, the land under the Kmart, the land that's in a farm, the land for properties that aren't assessed under your church, perhaps. But the trend is not. The act was passed, and the land values went in the crapper. That's just not the way it is. Now, on the full study that I have, that I'll have for you on a later date, I break out simply the towns that are in the Highlands in the various counties. And I'll have a comparison using, as I did the last time, Mercer County, which is not in the Highlands, but has kind of the same characteristics as, you know, as one big lump of population. In Trenton, we have Morristown, Persephone area, which is kind of similar as far as values are concerned. One thing that I have noticed is that for population, we talk here about the Highlands and I have this picture of rolling meadows. And the taxable, 2012, the taxable value in Morris County was $62 billion. But add the two towns in Bergen County and the six towns in Somerset, they make up about 65-70% of the total value. And probably, although I haven't checked it, the total population in the Isles. So more than the woodsy area that we have here in Chester, the more typical area of the Highlands would be Morristown, Morris Township, or Oakland in Bergen County. So those are the numbers. You know, we hear a lot of stuff, and these are numbers that you can get that the state of New Jersey Department of Taxation through the county tax boards put together. So these are facts. Just filling in. Thank you very much for your time.
Anybody else in the public with me here?
Yes, sir.
My name is David Schultz, and when I say you, I mean the Highlands Council. Many municipal officials up here hate your guts. It's as simple as that. And the COLA bribe, as I call it, was the main reason why many of them opted in. Without the COLA bribe, things got a little cloudy. Now what this council is endeavoring to do is offer the town center bribe. It's the same thing with the same underlying strategy, where government elects to make some people rich and other people poor. The Is this the kind of government you want? Because this is what you're doing. If you're fortunate enough to be on the other side of the line in the Highlands Act, you're okay. I just saw where Amazon is building 1 million square feet down in central Jersey on farmland that's far better than most anything you'll find up here. That's okay. That farmland is all right to be paved over up here because it's some stupid line drawn cynically with political boundaries more than any other reason. You're screwed. And if you're even worse than that, if you're in the preservation area, you're screwed even more. And now, with this town center designation, you have the opportunity with the cooperation of some municipalities to make some people offer them some relief at the expense of others. It's a cynical, creepy thing to do, and you should be ashamed to be part of it. This application here, this is a single application to build a single family home in Vernon. The applicants paid a $700 fee and had to furnish this paper where they had to hire experts to go with this application to build a single family home on a lot that they bought from the town of Vernon when Vernon foreclosed on the development. This lot that they bought is surrounded by existing houses. They had to do this to get permission to build a single family house. What do you think this pile of paper cost? Here's another one. Same thing. These people had to spend $750. These people hate your guts. It's as simple as that. And here's some more. You want some more? I got them. Lathrop, in his book, The Highlands, says it's going to cost over $10 billion to buy the land of the Highlands. Stafford will read the book. You missed that page. Do I have any more time?
No.
No? That's too bad. I'm just getting warmed up.
Thank you very much for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. That brings us to executive session.
I have one comment back.
Oh, sure.
No.
Okay. On land values. We look at overall depreciation of land values, revaluations, and loss of ratable. But I confusing fact. I like to look at the pure facts. And just a recent farmland preservation project in a preservation area in a town in Sussex County, the Anderson Farm, with the dual appraisal method. January 2004, that property was raised at $12,500 an acre, might have been $12,400. Current value on that property is $450. That's not a depreciation of land values. No, it is.
Okay, the council would be voting on this resolution to go into executive session, whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6 and following, permits the holding of closed sessions by public bodies in certain circumstances, and the council is of the opinion that those circumstances presently exist, and whereas the general nature of the subject to be discussed is litigation, in particular, Danielson versus Chester Township through its police department et al. In the U.S. District Court for the District of New Jersey, civil action number 2:13-CV05427-JLL, for which advice from counsel subject to the attorney-client privileges required and other matters involving attorney-client privilege. Now therefore be resolved that the council may enter into closed session at its public meeting on January 16, 2014, for that purpose. It is anticipated at this time that the nature of the closed session will be made public upon completion or resolution of the issues to be discussed, except any matter protected by the attorney-client privilege will not be disclosed. So we need a motion there.
Second motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.